Where'd that go? The day of Pentecost. So let's go Acts 2, church, and now we're going to look at, I believe, 41, I think. 42. Tell me when you're there. Acts 2, 42. Okay. So let me go up to 41. Oh, we'll go to 40. So I'm going to read from 40 down. So it says, "And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." This is Peter's sermon, this first one. "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They," who? "The 3,000 souls were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had things in common, and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day those who were being saved." Amen. Amen. So what you just saw here was the pillars of the church in the first century. These pillars have not changed. How God had called church to be done. Whenever we're looking for a model, or we're looking for an illustration or an example of things and how things should be done, we always look to when it first began. It's called the law of first reference. So whenever the law of first reference speaks, you and I build off of that. Never change it, but we build from it. Somebody say amen. So the pillars of the church started with these elements that I'm going to talk about just for a moment today. And it's never changed. Meaning what? Every building that calls itself a church must adhere to those pillars. They have to be in place. If they're not in place, it's not the church that God has called. It's not the church that God has built. And the Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they that labor will labor in vain. Somebody say amen. The Lord must build that house. It has to be God's order. God constructs it. He's the architect. And so to step outside of this, is I don't know what it would be called, but it wouldn't be called the Church of Jesus Christ. And let's look at some of those pillars. First of all, like I said at the very beginning of in worship, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles and teaching. They were devoted individuals. Let me tell you something, church. When I got saved in 1992. I got saved, and a lot of you know this, at a tent revival that took place by it was right outside of J.J. Chevrolet. Remember J.J. Chevrolet, anyone? Yeah, right. Or the 81 Drive-In. Yeah, right. I got to watch movies from my housetop. I lived out in Chilling, so I never heard them, but I got to watch them. That system, I think it's Spangles now. And that's where there was a huge tent revival from the church that I attended. I attended this church because I had to, because of the person I was living with. I was under legal requirements to go by this man's rules, and his rules were going to church. And so I obliged. I wanted to get off probation. I had just gotten added onto probation, which was a God thing, but it was stupid on my account. I walk into I'm off probation. It's a Friday. That's right. Monday. No. Excuse me. It was during the week, middle of the week. Maybe a Wednesday. I went to my probation officer Monday. I was on my last appointment. Boom. I was done. I completed Monday. Wednesday, I went to a group that's the school sponsored for individuals who have been through drug treatment. And, you know, it was just a support group. And I was not at all ready to change. I was not at all sober. I was just playing. I would even go to schools and talk to young people. And I was still actively using. So I was the biggest hypocrite. And so I walk into this meeting. I'm off probation. I tell the counselor on Wednesday, I've been using, but I'm off probation, so whatever. Well, she called my probation officer, and they don't do paperwork till Friday. So when she told me I was off probation Monday, she didn't sign anything till Friday. So in midweek, I was still on paper, and so they extended me for 6 more months. Stupid, you know? I found that out with a phone call. It's a great. I don't think I went to that group anymore either. Narcs. No, I'm just kidding. Stitches, man. Snitches. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's funny. So I was on. But that extended everything. That saved my life. Moments later, maybe a week later, I got in trouble and had to move out. And it was ordered by the court. So anyways, this guy's like, go to church. So I'd go to church 3 times a week. I went to church. So I went to this tent revival. Many of you have heard that testimony. And God met me, man. I encountered God in a way I've never encountered him before. Never. What happened to me? I didn't immediately move. I encountered God. Like, God saved me. I hit the floor. I repented. I had tears flowing from me. And the Holy Spirit just did the work. Can I say that again? The Holy Spirit did the work in my life. I responded, but he took over. What happened? I was not immediately invited into a discipleship program. I don't even think our church had one. All right? I wasn't immediately invited into a spiritual formation class. What happened? I went home that night, got on my knees, and what happened to me was so real. I never wanted to lose it. I was afraid it was just going to be a passing fade, something emotional. I got on my knees and I begged God, don't let this be fake. Don't let this be emotion. Don't let this be hype, God. I feel it's real, but I felt things to be real many a times. And I prayed, and God began to move on me again. And I begin to sense his presence and something, you know, I begin to pray more and more. And as that happened, my hunger for God led me deeper into the things of God. And it didn't matter if I had a discipleship program. It didn't matter if I had a worship program. It didn't matter if I had a Bible study program offered to me. It didn't matter because my hunger propelled me in such a way that I made myself read the Word every night. A chapter a day kept the devil away is what I would say, which is a lie. It kind of invites him in to fight you on the things you just learned. But I got hungry, and I went on fast. Nobody told me to go on a fast. I went on fast, and I began to seek the face of God because something real got a hold of me. Had I not, now later on, I was invited into discipleship programs and churches and more spiritual formation, but I promise you, that's not what saved me or sustained me. What saved me and sustained me was the power of the Holy Spirit, who says, Scripture, you are kept by the Holy Spirit. That was it. Now, I become more mature, I become more developed, but I did not remain saved because of programs. I remained saved and serving God because of hunger and devotion. There are people in the church that you see exceed to great. Now, I was thinking about Eli the other day, and now he moved to Kansas City, and I told him, why didn't you let us give you a send-off, you know? Why didn't you let us give you some sort of exit? And he said, well, because I live in a stupid driveway, and it snowed last week, and we couldn't get out, so we couldn't do it. So this is how I found out. I found out he's gone. He's going to Kansas City. That kid, from the time that he got a hold of God, surrounded himself with spiritual nourishment. Whether it was online, whether it was here, whether it was in the youth group, he was wherever there was an opportunity to encounter God. When Jeremy left for the week, he filled in for the youth. He was the only one, him and his sister, that showed up to prayer a night that youth was supposed to come in. It was just him and her. What provoked this? His hunger for the things of God. We called a prayer meeting, and it was him that showed up of all the younger people. And I'm not trying to isolate younger people and say condemn. I'm saying that's the hunger that perseveres through all things resisting you. Are you hearing me? If you fall away, it isn't the church's fault. It's yours. It's hunger that keeps you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the hunger that propels you. It's the Holy Spirit that keeps you. And that's the Holy Spirit forms that desire for hunger. Listen, church, I wish I could give you this, the ingredients for hunger. The only way I could is what happened to me is I had a pastor led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave an opportunity for me, and when I stepped into it, he took over. And I don't know no other way to say it. And I was changed. So there doesn't matter, church, what we're involved in, as long as we have hunger. That's what keeps us, and that's what propels us through adversity. These men were devoted. They were devoted first, and then the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, signs and wonders, and adding to the church existed. Not because it was because it was on account of. There was a major reason why these people experienced teaching, fellowship, prayer, breaking of bread. It was their hunger or devotion that we're speaking about. And it was put in there by the Holy Spirit, by the things of God. It was put in there, an opportunity. I can't say that God changed them so they're... I don't know that answer, because the word devotion means to fight to do what you're called to do. The word means, it's twofold. It means to forward, have a plan, have a vision, and to be strong in that plan and vision and firm. So I know what God called me to do, and I'm going to stay committed until I do or become what God has shown me. Which part is God's? Which part is you? How much of that is Holy Spirit? How much of it is you? I'm not sure, but I do know there has to be a commitment and a hunger and a choice made to continue on the things of God. And I do believe it's going to be hard and difficult, and it's not going to be automatic, and it's going to rub against your flesh and sometimes rub against your desires, and it's going to ask of you, and it's going to require sacrifice. And those people who choose that in the things of God are the ones who make it and grow and do what God has called them to do. And those are the people I have seen excel the most and place themselves in ministries and place themselves, or God has placed them in ministry, God has placed them in other aspects, because they were committed and they were hungry and they stayed the course no matter what came against them. Are you guys hearing me? If faithful and little, ruler over much. If I'm faithful in this little thing, just coming to prayer. If I'm faithful in this thing, just getting into the Word every day, I'm committed. Yeah, quantity sometimes matters. Quantity, sometimes quality is God, but quantity is the number. It's the consistency. It's the every day doing the right thing, even when it's hard, because God has given you a vision and a conviction to do it. And it's not easy. But it wasn't easy for these believers either. That's why the word devotion is used in there. I hope you get that. I hope you understand that the word devotion means it was difficult. But they continued through it. I've had, and many of people will tell me, I mean, come on, guys. We don't have a lot of churches out there that have these strict programs. We don't have a lot. A lot of people, especially when maybe 30 years ago, especially when that happened, when a move of God begins to take place, those things, those programs aren't in place, and it's pure hunger and pure devotion that gets a person to continue on. And if I can look back from 30 years ago to today, those people are still saved and still serving God, because they committed themselves to become or to be at the places that God had called them to. You don't have to be super spiritual to hear God's vision. You don't have to be super spiritual to hear God speak to you on direction. Man, I wasn't even saved. I barely was saved. And when I had that experience with God in July 19, 1992, God spoke to me. I didn't know it was God. I might have knew it was God. I didn't know what it was. But it showed me a picture of me pastoring in the city of Salina. And I've always knew that that was from God. And I committed to that vision, and I fought for that vision every step of the way. I got through college, got 3 degrees, did all of that. Not because I'm a super gritty guy, it's because I knew that God had called me to something, and whatever sacrifice it asked me for, I was willing to give for one reason, to become and to do what God had called me to become and be. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't. It's not going to be easy. Man, when God calls you, it's a whole different deal. When there's hunger, it's a whole different deal. You just become more independent in your calling. You become more self. You don't need people to feed you anymore. You begin to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are you hearing me today? I'm not saying the church isn't. Yes, the church is called to disciple and to make disciples. That is absolutely true. But nowhere in Scripture it says, The church is essential for people to be saved. That individual person, to make it, it's the church's responsibility that they do. Nowhere does Scripture say it. It says you are kept by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when it's in you, it's in you. And when it's real, it's real. And it will cause you to push through every resistance and every opposition that you encounter. Pastor, how do I get hungry? I think our hunger begins with what Elijah said, admitting you're empty, admitting that you're weak, admitting that you can't do this, and God needs to fill you with His Spirit and change that inside of you. That's what I believe. What do I do? Reach out to Him. Reach out to Him. And I believe God will give you that sustaining spirit that creates hunger. God, I'm weak. Let the weak say, I am strong. You gotta know you're weak. You gotta know you're empty. It's empty people that get filled. It's weak people that get power. It's thirsty people that get drink. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and what am I going to give you? But you've got to recognize your weariness. You've got to recognize this is too much for you, and then you've got to propel yourself. You've got to commit yourself to go to God. So if you're not hungry this morning, I think the first journey back is admitting you're not hungry, admitting the things of God have become dull to you, and asking God to rekindle and start a fire, and don't move until it's there. So I say amen. Go to His presence consistently until you know the fire and the presence and the passion of God is back in your life. And I don't think He's left. I think we can grow dormant to it. I think we can grow dull to it. And I think the flesh and the busyness of life and all the disappointments that may come with Christianity can compound and kind of hinder or quench that fire of God inside of us. But ask God to restore that hunger. Somebody say amen to that. Church, that's the beginning of it all. That's how God moved the church. That's how He brought the church to over 2,000 years of excellence, of continuance. That's how the nations, the world globally, heard Jesus and are getting saved today. It started with hungry, devoted people who were willing to go through adversity to get to or to become what God had spoken to in their lives. Someone say amen. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank You for that. And this morning, I pray for the spirit of hunger and devotion to come into our lives today. I pray for it to be easy in a place of clarity what we need to let go of. What do I need to let go of, God, that's hindering this hunger? And then let it be
very clear to them how to pursue you, God. How to pursue you. Come to me, you said. Help me to know where you are. I want to know where you exist. Help me to move towards you. Well, I know where the Word, that move, that's God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was, what was that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among men. Jesus is the Word. If I want to be close to God, then I need to be close to His Word. Somebody say amen. That's a discipline. That's something I can do. I can open my Bible, and I can start reading. You say, Pastor, I don't know what it says. Wait on the Holy Ghost. He'll give you the instructions. He'll give you the interpretation. He'll translate it for you. He's our teacher, but we have to posture ourselves and get hungry enough to seek Him, wait for Him, and receive from Him what He speaks. Can somebody say amen? Ooh. That would just create so much repair and restoration and revival in the church and in the city. Know your calling and pursue it. Devoted. That's the first thing it started with, church. The second thing we see that I won't get into very much today, the first challenge is, God, am I hungry enough for the things of God? Am I willing to stick it out? Have I ran? Have I sinned? Have I let sin go between me and you? You want to say, God, I'm getting back to you, God, right? That's what we want. You say, God, if I need to be hungry, then I need to make sure I'm pursuing you. Amen? Okay, so I have to remove. Look, listen, it's a direct road to you, a pursuit. Nothing should be in the way. Somebody say amen? So if I know there's known sin that exists in my life, then I want to tell you something. It's more than just sin. It's more than just causing you some conviction. It is preventing you from coming to God fully the way He's called you to come. And hunger then will be sacrificed because of it. You say, Pastor, are you being legalistic? No, listen, I'm being, seek Him. And I promise that God will drop into your spirit those things that you need to lay aside or lay down. Remove that. Remove that. Well, what will happen? Just remove it, and you'll see what it's trying to replace. I will come and fill it. What it's trying to artificially need, it's trying to artificially meet. Trust me, and I'll meet it. And what will that do? It will produce a confidence that God can supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. And then what will that provide? It will provide a hunger to go closer. And then, God, I'm going to seek you, and you're going to speak to my life, and you're going to shift some things, and all of a sudden, you're going to drop an old cousin. You're going to drop an old girlfriend or boyfriend in my heart. You're going to drop my husband or my wife, and you're going to show me the resentments and the unforgiveness that existed there and what I've been holding on to, and you're going to say, let that's coming between me and you. Get that right, and I will replace whatever you feel like that artificial thing need its meeting. I'll meet it. And then you're going to do it. And as soon as you do that, you're going to see reconciliation. And there's going to be, oh, man, this works. God is listening to me. And next thing you know, what are you going to do? I want to be closer to Him. And then He's going to keep drawing you closer, little by little, as you obey. And every time you obey Him, it's going to produce in you a hunger that's going to convince you that God will meet, can meet, and is faithful to His, to my needs according to His riches and glory. Are you hearing me this morning? So that's the first, devotion, God. We talked a little bit about last week, but I didn't finish it. And devotion and hunger is the beginning of 2022. Father, what is it you're speaking? What do you want me to remove? What is it that's going on that's keeping me from completely trusting you? What is blocking my hunger? Reveal it. Will you stand to your feet with me this morning? To move beyond this, to me, would just be programmed. It would just be, I got to finish this text. My intention in the next couple weeks is to express to you what God has called this church to become. My intention throughout this week or throughout these several weeks, is going to help you understand the mission and the purpose of our body and what God gave to leadership for this church.
And I'm going to do that. But it's not going to do what it was intended to do, I believe, until we get the first very foundational thing taken care of and God begins to restore, or God begins to infill us with a hunger that causes us to continue, and it causes us to take the opportunities that this church can offer, to take them and to let them grow us into who God has called us to be. But it won't matter. We can offer fellowship, we can offer discipleship, and we can offer opportunities of ministry, and we have, and it will not move until we have a hunger. Well, I'm talking to myself, church. When it gets hard, people recoil, man, and they go inward. And they stay in their families, they stay in their homes, they stay in their personal, private life. When it gets difficult, because that's a safe place. But when God begins to restore hunger, I think we begin to become more like the church God called us to be. And we begin to meet and join, and we begin to have a connection with one another and a bond with one another. And we become what God intended us to become, a family. But there has to be a breaking away, church. There has to be a breaking away. There has to be a breaking away from the things that are keeping us safe and comfortable. And what is it that needs to be broken away? Well, that's where you come in. That's where the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. That's where you begin to pursue Him. Supernaturally, Father, I pray that you begin to show and reveal what is standing in between me and my devotion, and my devotion to you. What is it that's keeping me the way that I am? What is it that's keeping me the way that I am? That way that causes me to sacrifice who I'm supposed to be. Worship team, I just want you to challenge us this morning as you lead us out. And church, listen, if you didn't hear a lot this morning, hear this. What is it that's coming between me and God? Holy Spirit, just ask that question. Holy Spirit, show me. David said, search me, Holy Spirit, and see if there be any wicked way in my heart. And I don't think David said that just to know it. He said it to do business with it. He asked God, show me, and I'm going to take care of it, God. I'm going to pray against it. I'm going to ask you to uproot it, but I'm going to confess, and I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to allow you to operate in my heart, and I'm going to obey the voice that speaks to me through this. Well, isn't that a scary prayer? Search me, Holy Spirit, to see if there be any wicked way. Like, really? I mean, I'm not at that level. I mean, I kind of know the ways that exist inside of me that aren't good. I don't want the Holy Spirit to be involved in that. He'll go deeper. And I'm being facetious, but my point is, we ain't even at that level yet. Like, we know those things that are coming against us and God. We know those things that are standing between us. David was at a place where he was like, I can't think of anything. Holy Spirit, will you show me? Boy, wouldn't it be great? Double-edged sword, but wouldn't it be great to be able to say that, though? That my heart up to my consciousness is so clear that I have to have the Holy Spirit dig deep and search and bring those things out. Maybe he was so clear. Maybe it was the fact that he was so in denial. Maybe that's where most of us, we're in denial. We justify and say, I don't, that isn't sin. That isn't something that's keeping us apart. Maybe that's what it was. Whatever, it was a difficult prayer to pray. Let's pray it. Let's pray it. Father, Holy Spirit, search me. Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Give me the confidence and the courage to lay him down. Is that a simple prayer, isn't it? Will you say it with me? Holy Spirit, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way. And if there is, give me the courage, the strength to lay them down. Hallelujah. Uh-oh. You asked for it. you asked for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's going to be some spiritual psychosis coming on us next week. Boy, we're going to be spiritually thinking, oh my, God's going to show us some things. Write them down. Now listen for the plan to break the chain of that bondage in your life. He'll give it to you. Let's get hungry, Father. In Jesus' name. God bless you this morning.